Let's now turn our attention to Paul's epistle to the Galatians. The last chapter in it, chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 of Galatians 6 right now. And of course, this being the Word of God, it is to be carefully listened to. Let's now hear from God from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Dear people of God, hear his word. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. May God bless this portion of his word to our hearts and to our minds. Again, Lord Jesus, be with us, for we are a thankful people because we are in your presence and we love to hear from you. And we take it into our lives, your word, for it is truth. And it feeds us a magnificent meal, spiritual meal. Fill us with your word. We pray in Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, thy dear Son, our Savior. Amen. Well, we're now pretty much into the growing season, aren't we? The spring seeds have been planted by the farmers for the crops to grow and be harvested in the fall. And the gardeners have planted their seed as well to harvest their veggies in the next few weeks or a couple of months. And both the farmers and gardeners know how to do this, what to do. In fact, you people have had a golden opportunity most of your lives. And by you people, I mean you that have grown up in the midst of farms and planted your own gardens, and your grandparents took in the fresh produce and bottled them and you used that. And you had a wonderful opportunity given you for your life. So for one thing, you have been tremendously blessed, but for another thing, you have to consider that because you have been blessed with such a great witness, you have a responsibility. And of course, on the day of visitation, there'll be no excuse for any of you here, not only you that are here, but those who are not here, those who are not even part of our church, who do not care for the ways of God at this time. Now, what I'm referring to when it comes to farmers and gardeners, they know the rule the rules and the laws that are set in place at the very beginning. Remember what God said in Genesis, that you take one seed and you plant it and you expect that seed to grow after its kind, right? It's you're not going to plant seeds of wheat or corn and expect that you're going to get something else, right? If you want wheat, you plant wheat. If you want corn, you plant corn. If you want potatoes, you plant potatoes. And the gardener knows the same thing, that if you want peppers, you plant peppers. And if you want tomatoes, you plant tomato seed. You don't expect to plant potato seed and get peppers or get grapes. Something like that. There's a law set in place that what you sow, the seed you sow, you're going to reap that seed's harvest. And everyone knows that. Even city folk like I know that. I know. I've known that. I wasn't surrounded by it like you. I didn't see it firsthand necessarily, certainly not as much as you fields and fields. Well, I've seen pictures of them and all that stuff, but not, you know, right across the street, you know. You see fields of wheat or corn or alfalfa and all, it's just a wonderful thing. And the laws that God has set in place from the very beginning are still operational today, and they're not going to change. Imagine if they did, right? Imagine if you planted one thing and you get another, and you never knew what you would get. There would be so chaos and confusion, it wouldn't work. We are thankful to God that He has set in place such a wonderful, in His providence, such wonderful rules, such wonderful laws that we have learned, and you have learned especially. And this witnesses the truth of His word to you every single day of your lives up to this point, and it tells you of a wonderful system in place. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about, from our text here, from the context, the rule of law that God has set in place. And it is an important one for us to consider. Then I want to talk about so we sow. You know, as we sow, so we sow. And then following on that, so we reap. As we sow, so we reap. So we sow, so we reap. And finally, talk about some of the consequences of our sowing, the consequences that we reap from our sowing. So the first thing I wanted to emphasize, and I've done so already, I've begun that, is to set in place that there is a law in nature that you all know. I do not have to convince you of this. You know it well. You have witnessed it for your entire life. And you've used it, right? If anyone has planted a garden, anyone worked on a farm or whatever, you have used the rules and the laws that God has set in place in the natural realm. But you see, what the problem is, and what we need to consider, we need to remember it, but people that are outside the church need to consider it before it's too late, that there is a spiritual rule as well. And everything in nature declares its maker's praise. There are lessons to learn from everything that God has created. And sometimes they're not too clear to us. The Bible makes mention of many things. He talks about plants. He talks about animals. He talks about creatures. He talks about crops and garden vegetables and things like that in the very beginning. He talks about a lot of things, but what he's saying clearly, he talks about storms. He talks about the wind, the rain. He speaks about the creation, and what he is informing us of is that that this, what's happening in creation, witnesses to us in a spiritual way, or ought to witness to us in a spiritual way. We ought to take lessons from what goes on day by day in God's creation and learn those lessons and apply them in a spiritual way. Now, Take, for example, the cycle of the crop or the garden. You plant the seed in spring, early spring, and you reap the harvest in early fall or late fall, right? As you plant, so you reap, right? You plant seeds of wheat, and the harvest you expect to reap wheat, right? But for some reason, people think that spiritually, if they think at all, that you can sow one type of seed, the seed to the flesh, seed to the earthly, the seed that's corrupt. And at the end of the day, harvest or reap blessing. Do you realize that God is teaching us here in Galatians, and particularly in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Everyone knows in the natural realm, this is a hard and fast rule. It cannot be changed. It was from the beginning and will be to the end. The same thing. But for some reason, spiritually, people think that they can sow whatever it is, believe whatever they want, do or not do whatever they think, say whatever they want to say, in whatever way they want to say it, and that will have no consequence. They will not reap later on in life, and certainly in the life to come, everlasting destruction. Because every single day of their lives, they were reaping or sowing sin, or onto the flesh, or not caring about the spirit. They think that the rule that's set hard fast in nature as a witness to us is not in place in the spiritual realm. That's what this verse and the apostle is telling the Galatians. The problem is here in with the Galatians is they were slipping away from this. You know, they heard the gospel that we are justified by faith alone, not through works of the law. And then the Judaizers were coming along, whether they were Gentiles and they were coming up with this, or they were Jews that were emphasizing their system. They were saying, okay, yes, we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, but also, excuse me, by circumcision. And they were emphasizing that in order to be saved, you must be circumcised. And the Galatians were saying, well, okay, you believe in Jesus. You say we need to believe in Jesus, but we also need to be circumcised. Okay. And Paul warns them, do not slip away to this. If you go back and you start sowing that law and being saved by works of the law, you're going to reap everlasting destruction, because a person cannot be saved by his works in any way, shape, or form. If you depend upon your works, you're going to be sorely disappointed at the end of the day. And you will reap everlasting destruction. That's why we profoundly disagree with Rome and any other Protestants or any other religion, as a matter of fact, who emphasizes work. That's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. As you sow, so you reap. You want to talk about your works being saved by your works are filthy. Even your works of righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. You're going to reap what you sow. You sow filth, you're going to reap filth in the end. And that's the principle here set forth, and he's using the creation, the created order, the natural order that everyone knew at that time, and all of you know, and your friend, your family, your friends and neighbors know, they know that too. But for some reason, the connection's not made between the natural and the spiritual. As God makes it again and again, repeatedly in his word, and here in Galatians chapter 6, there's no mistake about it. God is not kidding. Remember, listen to what he said again. He said in verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. If you think that you can sow onto the flesh and care about fleshly things and earthly things and very little, if anything, about spiritual things, or it doesn't matter what I believe, or it doesn't matter what I think or say, you are in for a rude awakening come the day of Jesus. And it's obvious that there are, that the preponderance of people living in our time, any time, shortly after Adam and Eve fell, and shortly after Noah and his family left the ark, the preponderance of people living in the world at any given age are en route to hell. It's right before your eyes. Every single day. And they prove it more and more as time goes on. Well, the people of God need to understand that they too have to be careful, because Paul is talking to the Galatians. He's talking to people that believed in Jesus Christ but were slipping. And we need to be addressed. Be careful what you sow. Now, there are reasons for that. The reason why we need to be careful what we sow, well, we hear here that if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption, right? You sow to corruption, you're going to reap corruption. And it's going to be a terrible thing, not only in the life to come, but even in this life. And I'll just talk about that in a moment. But I want to emphasize with others who have mentioned that from the day you're born and every day since, in thought, in word, and deed, every day, in every way, you're sowing. You're planting seed. You're planting seed by your thoughts, by your words, by your actions. You are sowing. Now, you need to think, well, what am I sowing to or for? Am I planting for the flesh, to profit it, to build it? Or am I planting for my spirit? By the words I say, the things I do, the actions I take. Now, I think I don't have to convince you that every one of us has a fallen nature. Totally depraved. God has said it. He said it before Noah and his family entered into the flood, and he said it about Noah and his family after they exited the flood, that the thoughts and imaginations of your heart are only evil continually before me. So we have this fallen nature, we have this sin, totally depraved nature, so that everything that comes from it, everything that is sponsored by that old nature is sinful. So it's just automatically understood by anyone who reads the Word of God, even in a cursory way, that there is no righteousness in man whatsoever, that every thought and imagination of his heart is only evil continually according to God's standard. And that nature's in us. It's in our children. It's in our grandchildren. It's part of us. And so if we have that propensity, a proclivity, and more than a proclivity, really, we have that impetus, that impulse, if you will, to sow to the flesh, because that's what we are. And to sow to the flesh is to sow corruption. And it's going to end up that way. But thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, we are taught as well that for God's elect, for God's chosen ones, for the ones that God has revealed himself to through his amazing grace, by depositing grace into their heart and into their soul and into their mind, and it gives them the gift of faith so that, like I said, faith is the alone instrument, the conduit through which he pours forth more grace, more understanding. We begin to believe in God and in his mercy that is found in Jesus Christ alone. And so what happens is that God gives only to his people, no one else, but his people, his chosen, which were chosen before the world began. Now we could talk about why me, why you, some other time, but God chose you. And what he did is he gave you his amazing grace so that now he has laid a foundation, if you will, a new man, a new woman. You have been given a new nature. Not that the old nature is torn out of you or taken away. You still have that because you're of the flesh. But you have now a new nature deposited in you that comes from heaven itself into your soul and has given you a new nature. So that's why a Christian now has a tension in his and her life, that the worldly, that the unbelieving, that the ungodly, that the idolaters, that the heathens, that the pagan, that the philosophers and the intelligence of this world do not have. You have a new nature and a new tension, therefore, because the old man and the new man, they're fighting it out sometimes, aren't they? And you know that. And you know that one thing, things I had never thought before, I think now are sin, and they still come to mind. They still come, I might say, to heart. And they're there. And I say, Lord, I thought I got over this one, but man, it's back with a vengeance. I don't want to get any more specific than that with you at this time, but you know what I'm talking about. It's still there. Sometimes it's worse. But then you have this new nature that says, I know, hey, I've identified. The new nature identifies and says, there it is again. That's sin. That's your tempt. That's your weakness. Aha. Whereas before, I didn't really think about it that way. I didn't care. But now I do, and I fight against it. Many times I'm successful, not all the time. Many times I'm successful in overcoming my sin, and more, you know, it's a fight. And I'm up for it. You know, I'm getting weaker, you know, mine's getting a little slower. Approaching 70 years old, you know, things start slowing down a bit. You'll learn. But I'm still willing to fight. I want to fight. And I have to fight against myself. It's not against people, not against you guys, brothers and sisters, but myself. Because I know sowing to the flesh is not good, but sowing to the spirit, that is. Oh, you're going to sow to the spirit. And you're going to reap a wonderful, wonderful reward, even in this life, but certainly in the life to come. And let's talk about reaping a little bit. And I want to hone in on something in the time that remains, because there's so much to say about this. I can go on. But you get the point. Okay, so you sow some bad seed. And let's just say you may drink too much alcohol. You may take drugs. You may commit some sex sins. A lot of people do that. A lot of Christians do that. And when you're young, you think you can get away with that stuff.
But I'm telling you that it has its consequences. Now, my life was drugs. In someone else's life, it might have been sex or even some other crime. And in this life, you reap something, a bad thing from that. That's what the Lord is teaching us here, that as you sow, you reap, and you're not getting away with it. If you do think you're getting away with it in this life, you will not get away with it in the next, unless, of course, you repent. See, that's the beauty of salvation in Jesus Christ. He gives you the grace to realize that this, what I've done in the past, it may come up on me and I may have to suffer some consequences, but I'll do it no more because I want to reap the reward of eternal life. And so I want to instead engage in the fruits of the Spirit. And that's the kind of fruit I want to reap. So I want to sow to the Spirit, and I want to reap from the Spirit His good gifts of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And when I start reaping those things, the fruit of the Spirit, even in this life, I begin to grow. I begin to grow in an amazing way, in a sanctified way. And you know, the hardness that was in my heart, and even the hardness that was in my face, softens. It changes the person. And you could almost see it. When a person who's been hard-hearted, a slave to sin, sowing to the flesh day in, day out, repents, finds the grace of repentance, and turns from that sin and starts sowing to the Spirit and reaping love and joy and peace of mind and conscience and meekness and humility. You know, it just shows. It even physically starts to show on a person, certainly spiritually, in his attitude and his ways. And so, brothers and sisters, this is a serious matter. This is very serious, and it's right out there for all of us to see every single day, that as a person sows, so he reaps. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting blessings and wonderful things. Now, the reason why it's so serious is not only the consequences that may come on upon you in this life. You're not getting away with it. You know, they call it karma. Well, that's not true. But this is. You're not getting away with it. There are people that are taking for granted their church and the doctrines of the church and the truths that are taught them many times, and they just put it aside or take. That is not doing well. That is not sowing to the Spirit, but that's sowing to the flesh, your own nasty flesh. Thinking yourself, as Paul says here, you're something when you're nothing. You need to pay attention carefully and realize that this is having a consequence even in this life, even upon my growth in grace. You know, there are people that come to church 1 week and you don't show up for another 6 weeks or 7 weeks. They're those people that don't really care about spiritual things. When they leave the church, they do other things, many other things. We're all busy. We all have many things. And they're not bad things. They're decent things. But the most important thing is the spiritual, right? And they kind of put aside the spiritual. That's not a good idea. That's not healthy. It's like going out into the world and eating all the junk food that you possibly can. It keeps you alive, but you're not doing well. But the other thing, before you leave, I want you to listen to this. That what you sow is not only going to affect you, but it's going to affect your children and your grandchildren. It's going to impact upon them, and they're going to begin to sow to the flesh, if you're sowing to the flesh, and they're going to be reaping the rewards even in this life. It's going to have a profound effect on our children and on our grandchildren if we're not careful. Doesn't so, son? It's not just me. It's not just about me. It's about my family. It's about my own children, my own flesh and blood. I know you care for your children and your grandchildren. I know you do. We all do. Even the world does. The greatest thing you can do for them is sow in every thought, word, and deed to the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and you will reap a reward, not only for yourself, but for them, eternal life. What better thing can you as a parent and a grandparent do for your own son, your own daughter, than to give him Christ or her Christ constantly, not only in word, but in your activities, in your lifestyle. Best gift of all. And you will be preparing them for a wonderful future, spiritually speaking. And even the ability to deal with the trials and tribulations of this life according to and by the Word of God. Emphasize this. Because if it's not true, then God is mocked. But God is not mocked. He can't be mocked. In nature, you can't mock him. There are rules and laws to follow. And spiritually, you can't mock him. There are rules and laws to follow. Let's follow. We are his disciples, followers of his dear son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we pray that you would make us followers more so. Yes, we are. All of us are. We've accepted Christ. We have learned about him from many of us from when we were little. And we have grown up with him, knowing him. But we don't want to put that aside. Ever put that aside. But we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ day by day. As a song, moment by moment. And we want to praise your holy name so that we, yes, are sowing and reaping along. So we sow 1 minute, we reap the next, and onto everlasting life. We pray, Heavenly Lord, we ask that you would make it so in each and every one of our lives and the lives of our children. This we ask in your name. Amen. Let's in closing.